Val sends her greetings. She's with our daughter. Our daughter took her for a little time off, and so you can keep them in prayer. So as was mentioned, we went to Malta with the intention of going to Israel after just a few short days in Malta. We actually had a return flight. So Malta is a place where we go, and as I think most of you know, and we get to share the Lord with many different religions. I mean, Muslims to it's a very Catholic nation, so we get to share the word with a lot of Catholics. And so we were supposed to go to Israel, but because of everything going on, the war started, they canceled our flights, and we did not go to Israel. Can you hear me okay, RJ? Yeah, so Israel was off. And so we, as I sent to the pastor, I think I sent him an email. I said, you know, it says, if you remember Pastor Chuck, I said to him, he said, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken, right? We need to be flexible, you know, on the mission field. We need to be flexible to what God wants to do and be open to what his moving and what he's doing. And so we ended up going. Our son lives in Austria, in Vienna, Austria. And he pastors a church. He helps pastor a church there, Calvary Chapel of Vienna. And so we spent about 3 weeks there doing some outreach with. If you know what we do, we take a board. It's got a riddle on it, and we are able to people come up and try and solve the riddle, and then we intervene with them and start talking to them, and we get to share the Lord with them. So in Austria, we had two guys that Val got to talk to that were from Munich, Germany. And they came and they were figuring out the riddle, and she got to talk to them. They both accepted the Lord. And so the Lord opened the door. So we left a riddle with our son. He's there using it a little bit to be able to go out and share with the people there in Austria. What is it? I don't know if you're aware of Eurovision, is it called? They have a music festival, singers, and it's called Eurovision. So they went to that. It was in Vienna, Austria this year, and they were able to share the gospel with them, with people there on the street, those who were going to the concerts and things. So you can keep them in prayer. They are also doing it there near the church in Vienna. It's near, right there in the heart of Vienna, so the church, that's where the church is at. So pray for them that the Lord uses it, and Austrian people. Actually, we met probably three different couples that were from Austria. We met them in Malta, so we were able to give them the church information on how to reach them, so you can keep them in prayer. But yeah, great opportunity. So we didn't go to Israel. We were supposed to teach at the Bible school there, and students, of course, didn't. They decided they weren't going to come since there was missiles coming in and in the Golan Heights, and they're actually right there in the heart of the Golan Heights, a place called Katzrin, Israel. So we didn't go. So we went back after Austria. We decided, and we went for a month to Malta again. And again, just sharing the Lord, sharing who he is, and the Lord just opens the doors to share with them. So the verse I had was Romans. The theme actually is the fullness, that Paul would come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. You know, the verse that's up there right now, it says, be careful how you add to the word, take heed, he says, how you build upon the word of God, upon that relationship with him. So we're to be careful. How is it we're doing our ministry? And so Paul says in chapter, if you have your Bible or phone, whichever you have, turn to Romans chapter 15. And Paul says, to the Romans. He says, he wanted to come and visit them. We know that he eventually does at the with the blessings of the Roman government. But he says in verse 29, "But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." So when Paul would come, he would share the gospel, either the gospel of God or the gospel of Christ. So the gospel of Christ, of course, is that we can be made righteous by him, by Jesus, right? He takes our sin, the great exchange, he exchanges our sin for his righteousness. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. So we want to have his righteousness, right? It's not by our works, it's not by what we can do, it's simply by faith, as we know, like Abraham. So when we come there in Malta, so they're reading the riddle, and we'll go up to them, and I'm talking for myself right now. Val sometimes uses a little different way of sharing, but I'll come up to them and I'll ask them, have you been able to figure out the riddle? And I'll work through them with the riddle, and then I want to bring the gospel to them. And I'll start with it has on the bottom part of the riddle. It says, "Do you is there eternal life? Is there life after death?" And most, "Well, I hope so," or "No, I don't believe." You know, all the different answers that people give. And so we're able to share with them, share with them that Jesus said there is life after death. He says to his disciples, "I'm going away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also." And so I'll share with them, "So where is he?" And some know it, that he's in heaven, some don't. But he is coming back, right, for them. And so I'll share with them that he's gone away to share, to prepare a place. Or I'll share with them that there is life after death, because in the book of Matthew chapter 22, it says that Jesus was speaking to the, I believe it's the scribes, and they were arguing about a woman who had been married several times. And Jesus said, and he's using the scripture, I believe, from the book of Exodus chapter 3, and he says, "God is the God of the," and I'm sharing this with them, "God is the God of the living and not the dead." And so I share with them, I say, "So who is he speaking about?" And of course, Jesus was speaking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had been dead for what, 1,000 years or so? So I'm sharing this with them, and I'll say to them, "So he is the God of the living and not the dead," right? And so Jesus was telling them they are living, but just not here on this earth, right? And so they're listening, and they're, "Okay, so there is life after death. And so what are you going to be present with the Lord?" Like Paul said, to be absent with from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'll share that with them. And depending on who, if they're Muslim, of course, they have a lot of different answers. But mainly we're trying to share with them the gospel and the gospel of Christ. So what is the gospel of Christ? What's your first thought, what the gospel of Christ is? Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. So the Jews were ignorant concerning one thing, if you're there in the book of Romans, chapter 10. So Paul is praying, his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. So we know, religious people can have a great zeal for God, right? But not be saved. For I bear them witness they have a zeal, but not according to what? To knowledge. And he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. So I'll be sharing with these people. So what is the righteousness of God? And I'll share with them, Jesus said, "Without faith, It says in the book of Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I'll be sharing with them, you know, it's not by our works, but it's by faith in God. And we know it's faith in what he, like Abraham, like Noah, had faith. And so I'm sharing with them that Israel was ignorant concerning God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness. When somebody denies the righteousness, how to become righteous before a holy God, right? Jesus, what did Jesus say? Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you likewise will not enter the kingdom of God. Right? It has to be through what God desires. And so what happens is most people then, if they deny his righteousness, not that he is righteous, we know God is a righteous God, but that the way to be made right before God is by his righteousness, right? That he gives by through faith. Impossible to please God, but by faith. And so I'll be sharing with them concerning the righteousness. So, and it says, so the Israel was what? They were ignorant concerning the righteousness of God, how to be righteous by faith. We know it's not, again, it's not that he is righteous, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So what happens when a person denies? They seek, think of how many religions. We speak to many different religions throughout, while we're there in Malta. We speak to Muslims, we speak to Hindus, we speak to Catholics, we speak to Sikhs, that's from India, right? We speak to those from India, what's the religion, in Buddhism, everyone, atheists. And I'm kind of finding that atheists are not the atheists of the past. It's just a name only. It's not these people that are just anti-God. They don't really know what they're believing. They say they're atheists, but it's easily shown to them that, you know, how can you be an atheist? Look at the heavens, right? Look at the Word of God and what how God sent His Son as He said He would do, and He's kept His promises. And how can you be an, you know? And it proves out that you know, the Word of God is true. So they were ignorant and seeking to establish their own righteousness. So where do we find someone in the Bible trying to bring about their own righteousness? Turn to the book of Luke, and we have a Pharisee, book of Luke chapter 18. And I believe it's verse 9 we're going to start in. Chapter 18. So Jesus here is speaking, and he says, he gives this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So remember, Israel was ignorant concerning the righteousness of God, but in seeking to establish their own. So here we have this Pharisee. And it says in verse 9 of Luke 18, it says, and also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were what? Righteous. Somebody else, a different translation, what does it say? Do they all say righteous? Okay. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And what did it cause them to do? These Pharisees. And they despised others. Right? They're seeking to establish their own, and they become very prideful. You know, it says, we've been born again by the Spirit of God, and we have nothing to boast about. Right? It's all His work. So, trusted in themselves that they were righteous, despised others. So there was two men, it says, that went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Kind of interesting statement, right? God, I thank you that I am not like other men. So, despising others. I thank you I'm not like these others. So he's comparing himself to others. I'm glad I'm better. I don't, I used to think when I was in high school, I would steal my grandmother's cigarettes and go out and, you know, smoke a cigarette. And then, you know, I'd come back, and one time my mom kind of smelled cigarettes because she didn't smoke. My dad did, I think, yeah. But who's stealing my cigarettes, you know? And, well, not me. You know, she'd know that there was one or two missing. But, you know, and I, my mom would always, she'd kind of say, you know, well, you know, Mike's a pretty good kid. He doesn't cuss and swear, and he doesn't do these different things, right? So I was sort of comparing myself to others and saying, you know, well, I'm a pretty good person, right? And, but not realizing that that's not going to get me to heaven because, you know, I'm a good person. And so this Pharisee says he went to the temple, prayed, I'm not, glad I'm not like these others. And then it says he stood and prayed with himself, I'm not like these other men. And he says, extortioners, I'm better than that. I'm not unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. And then he goes on and he says, verse 12, and I fast. So this is one who's trying to be righteous before God. First, I'm not like others. I don't do these things. Look at me. And then it's verse 12, and it says, and I what? I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Paul addressed that subject pretty well, I think, in the book of Galatians. And we can't be saved by our works. Right? It's not by what we do. It's not by our goodness. It's not by keeping the Ten Commandments. It's not by... So I'm sharing, you know, I'll be sharing this with these people on the street, how that, you know, our righteousness has to exceed. I had a group of, I think they were, I think it was three or four Filipinos, and I was just sharing with them, look, unless our righteousness, who's the most religious person you can think of? You know, and they might have answers, and had some that were from, actually were from France, different ones from France. The same questions, you know, I would give to them. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of these Pharisees, the most religious person, you likewise will not enter into the kingdom. So it can't be by our good works, right? Paul said it. Galatians chapter 2, we can't be saved by our good works. It doesn't work. This is not what pleases God, right? It's that righteousness through Jesus Christ himself. So I'm sharing with them. And so he says, look, I'm not glad I'm not like these, but he says, here's what I do. I do these things. I give tithes. So I'll share with them. And they'll say, well, it's by my good works, or I got baptized, or some other thing that they're trusting in. And I let them talk, and they usually, they'll say, some will say, well, I'm a believer, but their heart reveals, really, are they a believer? Because they'll say, I'm trusting in these different things. I'm trusting in what I do, or I got, like I said, mentioned already, I was baptized. I did these things. And so like this Pharisee, right? He gives tithes, and he fasts twice a week. And so I'll share with them, look, again, can you be right with God? You know, he said it's by faith. So turn real quick back to the book of Romans and talking about that righteousness of Christ. So we come in the fullness of the blessing. So what is the fullness of the blessing that Romans 15:29 is talking about? That we've been made righteous. That's what we want to come to people with. Now, we go into the country, into Malta, we go other places, we've been to many other places. We go to Austria recently, and we have been in also in Israel and to share the gospel, and we come in the fullness of the blessing that, you know, it's righteousness by faith. So turn to Romans chapter 1. So Israel was ignorant concerning the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own. So what does Paul say? There in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of what? The gospel of Christ. So here we have again mentioned, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and for the Greek. For in it is what? Sorry, for in it the righteousness of God. So remember, Israel is ignorant concerning the righteousness of God. Paul says, in it, the gospel of Christ, in it is the righteousness of God is revealed. How? From faith to faith. It has to be by faith. We cannot please God but by faith. So I'll be sharing with them, and I'll say, so it's by faith. I'll get them to kind of see that, you know, it is by faith. So who do we have in the scripture who believed God by faith? Okay, Abraham. Have you ever thought about Noah? What it says concerning Noah? Turn to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. So sometimes I'll start off with them. Actually, I will say, have you ever heard of Noah? It just depends on where I think they're at as far as knowing the Word of God. If they're saying they're a believer, not saying that they're a believer. So some said, oh yeah, Noah, he was the guy who, what? He built a boat, right? And I say, yeah, okay, yeah, so I'll give him that. Yeah, you build a boat. But what else? What else about Noah? So I'll go and I'll take him to chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, and I'll say, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. What was it that what were the things that were not yet seen? Pardon? Rain, right? It hadn't rained. So the people were mocking, right? And we know that the days were evil. It says that the thoughts and the intent of men were always evil. That's a phrase that's used throughout the scripture. And so I'll say to them, he was divinely warned of things not yet seen. And he says he moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became, what? The heir of the righteousness, which is according to what? Faith. So I'll share with them. So I say, you know, I'll say, what was Noah believing that God said? It's going to rain. He built an ark, you know, and he brought in the animals, and it says that he, because he did these things, believed God, it was accounted to him as Abraham. It doesn't say that it was accounted to him, but it says he became the heir of righteousness, which is according to what? To faith. And it was interesting because some of these people who, they were really kind of resisting what I was saying, but, you know, the Lord was just using the scriptures to share with them, right? And going through the scripture and seeing that it's by faith. So Abraham, I know a couple of you said, Abraham, turn to Romans 4. Chapter 4, and of course we have Abraham. And it says, chapter 4, verse 1, and what then shall we say, Paul writing, Abraham, our father, it says, has found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast, right? So just like that Pharisee boasting about, look, here's what I don't do these things, I do these things. We have nothing to boast about. It's all a work of God. And so he says he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham, what? Believed God. And it was what? Accounted to him for righteousness. And so I get to share with them, you know, look, it's simply by faith in Jesus Christ. Because a little bit later here in chapter 4, it says that now, in verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone, Abraham, that it was imputed righteousness, but also for what? For us. It's for us, right? Not by our good works, not by doing great things, not by prayer, not by my works. I can have that joy. I can have that fullness of that. And Paul would come in the fullness of joy to bring the gospel to people. You know, that it's simply by faith in him. And so it says, as it says, it's not written for his sake alone, but that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who, what? Believe. Right? It's given to us. It's a free gift. I was reading I was listening to a message about John Wesley and how he was reading the preface of Luther concerning the righteousness of God. And Luther was struggling a lot with the idea of how it talked about a just God, a righteous God. And he only looked at that as a righteousness. Kind of when you read that Romans chapter 10, you can kind of get the idea that he's talking about that God is righteous. He's a righteous judge. And so Luther had this same idea. And so he says, I'm angry at God. Because he's a just God and he's holding this against me. And then until he realized what God was saying, that it's by faith. And he could be made whole. And he says, at that point, Luther, and Wesley is reading this, at that point, he says, I felt myself born again. Because he was trusting in the righteousness of God by faith, right? Not written for him alone, Abraham, that it was imputed, but for us, right? That we could be made righteous totally by him. So, by believing in his son, right? As it says there in Romans 4, it was, but it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So that righteous soul, get to share with them. And they were, I found many were open. And of course, then, you know, I would get to the gospel too, of course, like the gospel it says in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, that he was crucified for our sins according to the scriptures, right? And he was raised again according to the scriptures. And the Lord just opens the word of God to these people. And we're trusting that that many of them, you know, we had about 30 people. Again, we hadn't planned on being in Malta, so there was really just the two of us, Val and myself, for the most part, because we had not planned, and so we hadn't invited some other people as we normally do. So it was just the two. So we were pretty busy, still had the same amount of people coming and we would share with, but again, we had about 30 people come to the Lord. And so we made up these cards. There's some of these cards are in the back. You're welcome to take them. It gives some, it says a ministry of Calvary Chapel Metro Houston, but it has, so maybe you have a new believer, or just somebody who's already a believer. And so we give it out because it has study helps on it. We shows them how to get to Blue Letter Bible, kind of who to listen to. And then it also has some teaching helps, and it has one of the Calvary Chapels. It has Calvary Chapel here, Calvary Chapel Metro. And then it also has the Calvary, or not a Calvary Chapel, but a church there in Malta also that they can get to. And then it has some scriptures here, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, Colossians 2:6, Galatians 3:3, and some other scriptures. So you're welcome to take some of those. You can give them out if you're talking to somebody, a new believer, a believer who's been a believer for a while. You know, you want to share with them the Word of God. So that's what we do. We go and sharing, and like I said, we were there by ourselves. Some interesting things that took place there in Malta while we were there. Val got, she was noticing, because there were several people who came to the Lord, she says, you know, God has prepared their heart before they ever get to us, because it's just like fruit falling off of a tree. They're ready. We almost have to say nothing to them. We do. One interesting, there was a girl who, we were actually it was the last day that we were going to be there and doing the outreach. So we're doing, but it started to rain. So we start taking the riddle down, and there was this girl who was sitting, she was maybe 30 years old, sitting right next to us there, sitting on a bench eating pizza. Well, she offered us some pizza, and I said, no, thanks, I hate pizza, by the way. So, but she's just sitting there, and she hadn't really looked at the riddle, I don't think. And so we got everything torn down, and she came up to us. So we're like, this is the last person we really talk to as doing this outreach. And she comes up to us and starts talking and goes, what is it you're doing? And so I kind of shared a little bit, but then Val kind of took it over, being girl to girl. And this girl, she was just like ripe fruit, just ready to believe. And she ended up accepting the Lord before we left. We had everything packed away. We're almost walking off. She offers us pizza, but we offer her the Lord, right? And it was pretty amazing. Because there was some people, or I don't remember how it came about, saying, should we really be doing this by doing these riddles? I mean, is this really effective? And that girl, and there was a couple of other people that came and said, you know, one guy said, if you weren't doing this by this riddle, I would never talk to you. But he says, this is a unique way. And I think the Lord just opens a door. It's not like we've got this program of doing these riddles and that's, you know, by our hands and what we've done. But God is using it in different places. My son is finding these two Germans that accepted the Lord there in Austria. The pastor of the church in Vienna said, I've been coming out here for X amount of years. I've never had anyone even accept the Lord. So we'll just go, well, you know, God's blessing it. But this one guy there in Malta, he says, I would have never talked to you. I said, yeah, you know what's interesting? Because Val and I came out here one day without the board, and we had Bibles, and we tried to talk to people. And I said to him, nobody would talk to us. They'd just look at us and they'd see we had a Bible in our hand or what we were going to share with them. And they wouldn't even give us a time of day, you know. And he said, this is interesting way of going, I would have never listened. He says, give me the material, give me the Gospel of John, give me the card, give me the track we're giving out. We have a little card we give. I want to read it. I want to know more about Jesus. And just go. So to say that, I'm saying that because we were kind of like going, you know, is this what the Lord, and he showed us it was by that one girl, this couple of guys that said something about that. So the opportunity is there. So we go out on Saturdays, so second Tuesday of each month. Is that right, Chuck? Second Saturday of each month. We go out, we go to Herman Park, and we share, and weather permitting, while we're here. But lots of opportunity there in Malta and those areas also. And you also have that opportunity to share with those. Turn to last scripture, and then I'll be done at 10:30. Turn to the book of Daniel. Chapter 12. Had some other slides I was going to show, but we didn't go there. Chapter 12, book of Daniel. Verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince, who stands watch over the sons of your people, Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble, the tribulation, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people, Israel, shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting contempt or abhorrence. And then he says, verse 3, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. What righteousness, right? Paul preached righteousness by faith. Noah believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him, and it's to us also. But he says, blessed are those who what? Who turn many to righteousness. So we want to give them that. It's not our work, it's what God has done, turning them to the righteousness by faith, not by their work. So many people are, right, they're trying to establish their own. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. So make them, how do you make someone not ignorant? Give them the information, right? So that they might enter into his kingdom, his righteousness by faith. So Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that it's not by our works, it's not by what we can do, it's not, anything we can do. As Paul said, I have put everything aside that I might know him. And so we want people to come into that knowledge of you by faith, believing upon you, what you have done, the gospel of Christ, for in it is the righteousness of God. So, Lord, speak to people's hearts. It could be, Lord, not by their works, struggling to be right with God, struggling to keep a good account with you. However, as that Pharisee, praying, fasting, thinking himself so much better, but simply that faith in you by righteousness imputed. So, Lord, we thank you that we can be set free. And even as Luther said, I felt myself born again. I felt myself a new person. It was relieved that he didn't have to work his way into heaven. And so, Lord, for us also, we just pray that, Lord, we'll just have that peace of God that passes all understanding. Our relationship with you through faith. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.